The bag is packed with the sticks. The drinks are cold. And the scorecards ready to go. Time to hit the links.
I don't even know what I said in the postgame show because I was watching. I probably was talking about Bryson and Rory for all I know.
This is On the Tee, presented by Wisconsin Golf Trips.
Exciting Brewers game ends with a guy getting gunned down at the plate. And Stevens.
Rory took the lead!
Stevens on Brewers Live talking about Bryson's up and down.
Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at the Avenue. Alongside Bally Sports' Stephen Watson, here's Gabe Neitzel.
We are on the tee. Gabe Neitzel is on assignment. On this program, that means he's playing golf. So, Gabe, we hope that you're hitting it straight, enjoying your trip right now. Stephen Watson here on the tee, and I am proud and excited to welcome Mark Mylitz, a.k.a. Mark the Caddy. We got to know each other very well this past week, Mark. Mark got the opportunity to caddy for me and my folks up at Whistling Straits. You might be able to follow him on social media at Caddy Tales. Also, the author of Caddy Tales, a looper's search for lost golf balls and what he found instead. Mark, thank you so much for joining us on the tee.
Really happy to be here. Thank you.
All right, Mark, let's just get in right to your roots, the game of golf. How much have you, you know, you've had the opportunity to caddy at Whistling Straits for a number of years. How did you find golf?
Yeah. So actually, it was not a big part of my life growing up. And I'm a little different than a lot of the caddies that I have come to know because of that. You know, as a young adult, I played in some, you know, men's leagues and stuff. But then, like a lot of guys, I had four kids. And so, you know, you're ability to take 3, 4, 5 hours and go play golf is somewhat limited. So went through a stretch where I didn't play a ton, and I would just say that it wasn't a huge passion of mine. Okay. And then through a series of events where, long story short, I blew up my life and found myself in need of a major, major transition, I stumbled upon this opportunity to be a caddy, something that I thought was going to be a very short-term stopgap in life, to keep my family fed and a roof over our heads. And it now has really turned into an amazing passion and something that is very, very deeply meaningful to me.
So was Whistling Straits and Kohler the first place that you had caddied at?
Right, it is. So I had lived in Michigan I grew up there, and then me and my wife located there for most of our married life. And I actually served as a pastor there. And just got into a lot of deep anxiety, deep depression, isolated. And it really translates to a lot of what I see in the game of golf. So a lot of times somebody hits a bad shot, and instead of taking their medicine and getting back on track, what they'll do is they'll exacerbate it by making another maybe risky or poor decision to kind of cover up the one that came before. Well, on a much grander and more significant scale, that was really the story of my life. And so I, you know, would go drinking, and then I would, you know, exacerbate that by trying to cover that up and misusing money, and then trying to buy people's approval and all these kind of things that I have deep, deep, deep regret and shame and embarrassment about, and not only hurt me, but hurt my family and hurt others. And so what happened is I resigned from my position, and I had remembered a conversation I had with my brother-in-law then from years earlier, where we're here visiting in Wisconsin for Christmas. And he mentioned that at this golf course that was new to the area, about a mile and a half from where my wife grew up on a dairy farm, that the caddies did really well, that it was a good job. And so knowing that we wanted to move here, relocate, be near family, have that support system, I recalled that conversation, threw in an application having no idea what to expect next. And then one thing has obviously led to another, and now we're here. And I even get to now, over the course of all these years, end up caddying for somebody like you. So it's been a wild ride.
Well, we'll get an opportunity to talk about our loop together later on. How long have you been a caddy now up in Kohler?
So this is my sixth season that I have been there. And I, like I said, planned on doing it for 1 year. And then a combination of loving it, a combination of COVID coming and some things going on with that, a combination of just needing to put the past behind me and that drawing out for a while, It's turned into six seasons, and I hope it'll turn into many more.
When you think about that, to it being 1 year and now being six, what changed? What about the game of golf and about caddying has made you fall in love with it?
Yeah, so caddying has been one, an amazing experience for somebody who needed to work through some things, had some anxiety. Those long walks on the course, being in a beautiful setting, turned out to be tremendously therapeutic. Being in community with other caddies and then also witnessing solid community in the other golfers is something that was deeply meaningful to me. And then witnessing the game of golf and how it really does mirror life. And I look at how I had put all these expectations on myself in my previous life. And when I didn't live up to them, I would have just deep frustration and issues with control. And I would see how some golfers would act like that. My first reaction is to be so annoyed or upset with them, but realizing, well, that was me. And so then I had kind of this empathy or at least a way to understand them. Other times I'll see somebody finally get that one shot that keeps you coming back that all golfers talk about and not seeing them celebrate like maybe they should. Instead, focusing on the negative aspects. And I realized, well, that's what I did. Maybe 9 times out of 10, there was something good, and I only lamented the something bad. And so that's made me also translate into how I look at caddying, is help people celebrate those little wins and see it as something fun and beautiful, where they get to be in this awesome setting, where they get to be with people that they care about. And I just love everything about it.
You mentioned therapeutic as a word to describe what that is for you. Did you find golf or did golf find you?
Yeah, I really think that golf found me. You know, I think that it's turned out to be something where I can use the gifts and talents that are inherent to me in a setting that is new but has a lot of parallels, but has also turned out to be much healthier for me as I look for some healing and hope and growth in my life. Golf has provided that in a way that I never, ever would have expected it to.
Once again, talking with Mark Mylitz, who's a caddy over in Kohler at Whistling Straits. Had the opportunity to loop with him last week with my parents. We'll get into that round later on in the show. You can follow him at Caddy Tales on social media, author of Caddy Tales, the book. You can buy that on Amazon, correct?
Correct.
All right. Yeah, definitely a great read. Highly recommend it. Mark, now, I was reading into your bio and your website where you can buy your book as well. You said, what began as a personal journey of redemption has evolved into an unwavering dedication to inspire and uplift. You talk about your dark times that you had in your life and overcoming that and finding golf. Now you're able to spin that into positive energy with players on a daily basis. How special is that connection for you to have that with people on a daily basis?
Yeah, it's really meaningful to me because I want people to enjoy and experience those little wins, those blessings in life, see the big picture and have just a sense of gratitude and joy, something that was so often missing from me. And so, you know, to what many might be trivial, the knocking around of a golf ball, well, there's opportunities there that parallel and mirror our lives so much. And what has become a mantra for me is that, you know, no matter how many shanks and misses and just flat out, you know, terrible things that have happened, just like in golf, in life, there's always a next shot and it's always full of hope and opportunity. So instead of letting that past define you, I think that we move forward and look forward. One of the biggest struggles for me, actually, it is the biggest struggle for me. It's one that I still carry with me every day. And even when I meet somebody new like you and I have a discussion like this, it's always there. Is this past all that that person is going to see me as? Is the negative stuff that they can see and know about me, is that all there is? Is that how they're going to define you? And I know that for some people, that is all there is. And that's how they look at you. And in life, I have found that a lot of times people need those people in their life because that's the way they feel better about themselves. Yeah. At least that person is worse. And I see that on the golf course is, hey, we might be playing slow, or I might be bad, but at least I'm not as bad or as slow as that person, okay? It's always the other group that's the trouble. So that's just a human nature issue. But what I have found is that I take that same feeling about my life, this desire that I don't want to be defined by that. It's a dark period. I wish that I could go back, but I can't. And so all I can do now is move forward and do differently and do better. And so in the same way, I don't define golfers. So, you know, you'll meet golfers on the first tee and they're apologizing already, or they're worried about their score, and they think all you're going to see and know about them is the misses or the bad shots. And I tell them right away, I could care less about that, you know. And if I have to walk a little bit more, yeah, quietly, I would love it if I was always walking down the middle of a fairway and it was an easy round. But I don't define the player by those bad shots. And I'm constantly trying to get them to focus on the next one instead of looking back on the past one. And so just like in professional golf, the best players in the world have this ability to put the bad hole behind them and move forward. Somebody like a Scottie Scheffler has that wonderful gift. And so that's what I try to bring to what I'm doing out on the course. And I think most days it's pretty successful. And yeah, some days I'm sure there's misses. But again, a beauty is that round or that issue isn't going to define me. There's always a next loop.
And just like every player is different, I feel like a lot of caddies are different well in how they approach the day in and day out, the grind that you guys go through, you know, looping multiple rounds sometimes a day, and you're upwards of, what, 10 a week that you can get up to sometimes during a busy season, especially in a place like Kohler. So for you and your approach to daily caddying, do you feel like your perspective in your past life has made you a better caddy?
Absolutely. I think it really, and I think that probably you're absolutely right. It makes me a different kind of caddy than some. I think that, for instance, a guy who's a great golfer and comes from that pedigree and that's how he got into caddying has a different perspective for what they're looking for in a good loop. And then you've got some grizzled veterans who've been there, done that. Maybe their patience isn't what it once was or could be. And so they're looking for something different in a loop. And I would say that I'm very much interested in making a connection with my players, developing some sort of bond. I mean, not lifelong with most of them, but sometimes it's really turned into something cool. And giving them the best experience and helping them to stay positive and helping them to continue moving forward with some joy. And it really does stem from what I've been through.
And I will tell you, as a player, and we'll get into this coming up on the tee, I appreciate caddying with somebody and playing alongside somebody like you versus the guy that tells me how to make my game better and gives me swing critiques and tries to coach me through it.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing worse than not playing well and having somebody try and tell you what you're doing wrong. For you, I appreciate the way that you approach your day in and day out as a caddy.
Yeah. there's definitely some guys who, and actually I just texted this with a friend, is where did some caddies get the idea that caddying is the same as giving golf lessons or being a golf instructor? Because it's really not the same job. And so, you know, when you got a good golfer, especially somebody like you who is having an obviously bad day, well, the best thing you can do in that situation is usually just shut up. And then certainly your comments be brief and positive and to the point to help keep them encouraged.
Yeah, well, we will get into all of that and much more. Life as a caddy coming up on the tee. And so Whistling Straits, one of the greatest golf courses in the world. Well, coming up in October, you have an opportunity to join Gabe Neitzel and myself in Scotland, courtesy of WisconsinGolfTrips.com. Jason Coughlin, our presenting sponsor here on the tee, Wisconsin Golf Trips. They do an incredible job planning trips for you, friends, family here in Wisconsin, but of course, internationally as well. You can go to Ireland, Scotland. Jason has you covered with accommodations, tee times. He makes everything easy for you to enjoy the trip of a lifetime. And you can join us on the tee October 12th to the 20th. Only a couple of spots left to create a core memory out on the golf course. Be sure to look into WisconsinGolfTrips.com for our Scotland trip on the tee. Come join Gabe and I. Well, coming up next on the tee, we're going to talk more with Mark the Caddy, the do's and don'ts for you as a player on the golf course from the eyes and head of a caddy. It's coming up next on the tee. We are back on the tee. Stephen Watson joined by Mark the Caddy, Gabe Neitzel, on assignment right now, playing some good golf up in Michigan. He'll join us next week to recap not only his golf in Michigan, but congrats to Gabe Neitzel and Tom Lee winning the member guest at Blackhawk in Madison over the weekend. I know Gabe is very excited to detail that victory. I also had an opportunity to play the member guest at Wisconsin Country Club with my dad, but before that, we had the opportunity to loop around at Whistling Straits with Mark the Caddy, who is a caddy over in Kohler. And Mark, thank you so much again for joining us on the tee, being my co-host this week. I think it's so unique for people to hear a caddy perspective of what a day in the life is like, but also how we can be better as players when we get the opportunity to play with a caddy. And I have said it, and Gabe will say it, that taking a caddy is so important to enhancing your golf experience. No matter where you play, the opportunity to have somebody who knows the course, who has, you know, different perspectives about the game and has been around so many different types of people like you have yourself. I think it's such an ability to enhance your round when you get that opportunity to pay for that. It is certainly worth it. Highly encourage you if you get the opportunity to play up in Kohler, and be sure to request Mark the Caddy. You can find him on social media at Caddy Tales as well. A great follow there. He details a lot of his loops that he has throughout the week. So, but let's just take you through a day in the life of Mark. I imagine no 2 days are the same for you in this line of work, whether it's the players, the conditions, what course you're caddying on. So what is the day like for you? When do you find out what course you're going to be playing on? Morning, evening? Detail all that for us, Mark.
Right. Yeah, no, you hit that right. There's no 2 days that are alike. I'm sure courses all have their different systems. For us, we have report times that we have to go in on, unless somebody has requested us to be their caddy. That would be the time that we would know exactly when we're going to get out. But on most days, what happens is we have a report time, and the earlier morning ones, like the guys who have to be there at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, those are the guys who are scheduled. They have to be available to go two loops that day. And so that's just an amazing grind. You got to be mentally right for that. And then as the day gets progressively later, the chance that a wait could get a little longer too, because the course is kind of staffed as though every group that comes through is going to take a caddy. Well, there are some days where that might not be the case, so it kind of causes some disruption. But you show up at the shack, and you know, usually there's some guys there, and the conversation is so easy. That is one thing that I really have grown to love, is that there's no difficulty just getting amongst a group of caddies, and you could really most times just finish each other's stories, you know, and everybody has it kind of experienced similar things. But you recap loops, or you talk about, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And guys certainly have people that they are, you know, friendlier with or more connected to outside of the course. But just about everybody can kind of carry on a conversation together. So eventually you get called up, and you really don't know which course you're going to be on in particular. There's a chance you could four caddy on one of our courses, or you're going to go out and bag carry on Whistling Straits, which is, I think, the preferred for a lot of guys, except for yesterday. I really wanted to get on the other course so that I could just get a little bit of a break from having the bags on my shoulders after a really hot week last week. And that was made possible to me. You go up to the bag drop and you meet your players, and there is a sizing up that happens.
Yeah, that was my next question, because yeah. I'm so fascinated about this, because I've felt sized up before as a player,
yeah.
And I try not to get emotional about it, but you get the first couple of swings on the range, and you look back at the caddy, and they're just kind of cleaning their clubs like, all right,
yeah.
I think I got a player, and then he watches me chunk one, and he goes, oh, this could be a long day. And it's just so fascinating when they know nothing about you.
Yeah, and there's some real snap judgments.
Yeah.
You know, like, because there are some guys who don't come across all that well, because, or friendly, because they're like so in the zone in that time beforehand. So you're even standing by their bag waiting to, you know, introduce yourself, and they are just like, they go and grab a putter right out of their bag and head to the, you know, the putting green to get in those last five practice putts before we got to be at the starters table or whatever. And they're not real conversationalist. And so you're like, but then they might turn out to be the greatest guy. You're looking at not only if you go out to the driving range and look at their game, you're kind of obviously making some judgments based on their clubs and their bags.
Yeah.
I mean, you really can. You know, you can. It's not foolproof. Everything's a generalization, but there are some things that you can kind of tell. Do they have bag tags from like all the best courses around the world? Well, that tells you they probably have been to a place like this and know.
And you're hoping for a nice tip at the end of the day.
Yeah. You know, and then there's like one of the things that I have found on Twitter, if I really want to get people fired up, I share my disdain for the 14 slot golf bag, which if you have on the back of a cart,
I have a disdain for that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have it on the back of a cart and stuff, you know, I know the engineering and accounting type mindset really likes those, but they're kind of tough to carry as a caddy.
Call them OCD mindsets on this program.
Yeah. Right. Not only are they tend to be a little heavy, but they're just kind of, when you're walking with multiple clubs and two bags, they're hard to navigate. So you're kind of like, I hate to say it, but there's probably some caddies who've already got kind of a negative feeling going. So you got to fight that, you know. You're looking, oh my gosh, these clubs look like they were bought 42 years ago from, you know, a garage sale, or this person has the new... The person who bought them from the garage sale 40 years ago might be a better player, but I'm just talking about those vibes heading into things. There's that little sizing up that goes on. And so then eventually you make it out to the first tee. And
But before we get to the first tee, you talk about sizing somebody up. So Gabe and I, you haven't had a chance to caddy for Gabe yet, but hopefully one day. He wears really loud clothes, like ridiculous pants. He's proud to be wearing the pants. I like to dress up myself. I like to look good on a golf course. It's just like look good, feel good, play good type of mentality. I try not to be showy about it, but like I like to wear nicer clothes that might match, that, you know, I feel good on the golf course. How quickly do you judge people based on their clothes?
Oh, you know, yeah, you do. And if somebody's, you can say, oh, he looks the part. Like I actually used the phrase, oh, that guy's right out of Central Casting the other day, you know. And usually that's a good thing, you know. What I'll tell you is the example of clothing where maybe you're like, is when you have a whole big group of guys and they've got like matching team uniforms. You saw this like Ryder Cup year or whatever. You know, these are guys who've been planning this for a year and their whole life is riding on what's going to happen the next 5 hours. And so you're like, oh, batten down the hatches. You know, what's this going to be like? So, there's clothing, clubs, bags, just initial greeting. All those things play into kind of how are we going to walk up to that round? Feeling good? Feeling maybe a little nervous? Who knows?
So you have somebody who's wearing like the Ricky Fowler orange and he comes out and you're like, all right, you better shoot 75 today.
Right.
But he goes out and shoots 105. Do you kind of feel good about that?
Yeah. Well, my job tends to go better when people score better. So I wouldn't say
naturally
feel good. But,
oh, come on. You can say deep down in your soul you might feel good.
But the human nature spiteful side, you know, it's there in all of us. So absolutely.
It's karma. You can say that.
You know, but, you know, I would also say you're like, there's different kinds of groups that generally make up. And I write about this in the book. You know, you have your father-son group. You have your husband-wife group, generally older couples, but not always. You have your country club group, like the club playing something. So I was just out with a huge group of that. Well, there's little things, like if you have the country club group full of 30 men, just trying to figure out which time each of them going, you're ready to have an aneurysm by the time the whole process is over. Hey, which group are you in? I don't know. And it's like, if you're an OCD caddy, that's your nightmare. Then there's the college buddies trip group. There's
drinking 15 on the course group.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there is no greater divide in life than day one of a college buddies golf trip and day four of a college buddy's golf trip. And if you're the caddy who gets them on day four and you haven't seen them yet, it's a totally different loop than maybe the guy who had him on day one. And so the four women golf group, it creates a whole another set of kind of feelings for the caddy. So there's all these kind of different groups. I had a corporate group yesterday, so that's a big makeup of them. Each one of them brings a little bit of something in their caricature to the table that has the caddy's mind churning a little bit.
All right, so you had mentioned getting on the first tee and you're watching somebody hit their first shot. You know, what is that feeling like for you as a caddy? And you go back to early judging.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are shaken over their first tee shot. So how do you handle that?
It's fascinating. You have guys who are successful. You know that you have seen millionaires. You've got guys who have performed brain surgery, guys who are running companies, and their hands are literally shaking, putting a little ball in the ground. It's golf is the great equalizer in that regard. It's not so much for me how they hit it on the first shot, because you know, I chalk it up to there are going to be some nerves, or that first swing might be really quick. It's what is the reaction, or, you know, or how many disclaimers are they making? Oh, I haven't played in a while, or, oh, this is, you know, I've had a back injury, all that kind of stuff you're noticing. If they hit a breakfast ball, how far are they making you go search for the first one that's 500 yards away from the second one? Those are little tales about, like, maybe how easy or difficult the loop is going to be.
Yeah, and I mean, I can't imagine how that tests you mentally as you're just, like, kind of probably cursing under your breath to yourself, walking, be like, I got this group today.
Well,
or vice versa, and you're like, wow, these guys seem like this is going to be a fun 5 hours.
Yeah,
ahead.
And, you know, it's a customer service job, and we are at a world-class place, and people have paid a lot of money. So no matter how we feel, our job is to provide good service. And so there's just days where maybe you're kind of puckering up a little bit differently as far as how hard that good service is going to be to provide. Because like yesterday, I was out with this group of guys. It couldn't have been easier and more relaxed and more fun, you know. And then the next day, you could be out there with guys who are standing over putts for 3 minutes because they've got $20 on the line, and their whole
after spending $700,
their whole self esteem is dependent on that ball going in. And you're also, here's a huge one for me. This is the number one thing for me as far as what I think is going to determine a good loop for the player for sure. But then that translates over to the caddy is, are their expectations anywhere aligned with their ability or the conditions? And so if you have somebody that you can tell what they are expecting and hoping for is so out of whack with what is reality. For instance, if you're on the first green and you're 60 feet away and the guy is really pining over that putt and says, give me your best read. I need to make, you know, a par here. There's a good chance that's going to be a really challenging loop throughout, because even at the best levels of golf, that's a, you know, barely made putt.
10% max.
Yeah. And now at our level, there's this idea that because, you know, we've been planning this match or this outing, that that's going to work. Or you just have guys or gals, for instance, who are so successful in so many arenas of their life that they want and expect that same thing to take place on the golf course. And I think golf is a place where, you know, it brings powerful people to their knees at some point, some more than others, some more often than others. But for all of us, at some point, what we want to do, have maybe been able to do in the past, isn't going to translate with how it's going that day. And how are they going to handle that emotionally is the most significant thing for me.
And that's fun for me as a player when I think about it. And I try my best to not get too emotional about how I'm playing. But it's hard when you go to Whistling Straits. You want to play your best round of your life.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be Whistling Straits. It can just be any nice course that you're looking forward to and you have a caddy. And it's hard to put that ego aside.
Yeah.
And it's easy to blame other people or environments or weather or, you know, you're always searching for somebody else to put that blame on when you're the one with the club in your hands and you have to hit that ball in front of you. And I think that's something that a lot of golfers battle is, what's the easiest thing to do? Blame the caddy.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I was just texting with one of my best caddy buds this morning, and he texted top 10 win day. So that's saying something when you're talking about playing golf along Lake Michigan, that this guy has been there for over 10 years, top 10 windy. And I don't know if he meant this year or like in his career, but it's very windy out there. He's with a corporate group. And I, without divulging who this person may or may not be, it is, he is with somebody who I would venture is... who is very, 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 very successful. And so now you are in a condition with, say, 30-mile-an-hour wind in the face where virtually nobody is going to play really well. I always take people back to the second day of the Masters this year where they had some wind in Augusta, and I think one guy went under par out of the best players in the world.
Yeah.
And so that temptation, I'm sure, is there for these people to find something that they can blame so that it makes them feel a little better. And then there's others who are just like, you know, they throw up their hands and be like, what? Nobody's going to, this is crazy. This golf course is too hard. These conditions are too hard. Let's just start ordering cocktails. You know, that some have that mentality.
And
as
for you, I'm sure that can be more fun or less fun, depending on how they handle said cocktails.
Yeah, right.
What is the most hurt excuse you've gotten from a player?
Yeah. I haven't played in a while. This is the first time I'm playing this year, or, oh, I've had this injury. Or, oh, this is, you know, these are new clubs, or something along those lines. Definitely the disclaimer about not playing in a while or having had some injury. And, you know, those are opportunities when we talk about, okay, let's kind of flip the script. Here's somebody who's trying to already couch the day in a negative.
Yeah. Games between the ears.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'll say to players, you know, on the list of things that I care about today, how well you play, as far as how it impacts me, doesn't crack the top 10 of the list, okay? So relax, stop with the, you know, disclaimers, and let's just have some fun. You're trying to get them to relax a little bit, get rid of that self-consciousness, and now start couching the day in different terms. Like, there's other things that can make this day a success. Like, for instance, how cool is it that in golf, I mentioned some of these different groups, in the last month, I've surely had a husband and wife who are empty nesters now saying, hey, we've got all this time to spend together. Golf's that activity they can both do. A father and son, where that bonding we know is vital in life, they're doing that on a golf course. You've got corporate groups like the one I had yesterday of people networking, and golf can provide that atmosphere and place for them to do that. You've got the college buddies who now live all over the country saying, hey, there's one place we're going to fly into and all meet so that our relationship stays strong. There's what other thing than golf does that so beautifully? And so there's this opportunity to start getting people to say, even if I don't score the way that I want to, which for good golfers is harder for them to understand than maybe the high handicappers. There's other ways to measure success today. Did I make a new contact? Did I did I get to bond with my son and have him see me handle stress? Or even things like how to treat service workers or how to treat the caddy, a lesson that this kid is going to remember for many, many years. There's a lot of ways to couch a successful day out there.
Well, you talk about perspective, and that is something that I try to have regularly on the golf course, but I had a moment of perspective with you at Whistling Straits when I had the opportunity to walk alongside of my parents. Yeah. They're the ones who made me fall in love with this game, and my grandfather, who's no longer with us. And the moments that I get to spend with them on the golf course are always something that I can cherish. So coming up on the tee, we're going to recap our round together at Whistling Straits, and we know how good of a caddy you are. Clearly, you're on the program, so I enjoyed the walk with you. Otherwise, I probably would have found another caddy to join me this week on the tee. But you know who else has some of the greatest caddies? Aaron Hills. And Aaron Hills always does a fantastic job whenever you step foot on their ground. Hospitality, we always appreciate the way that they have supported our show from day one. Their Golf Digest, 10th ranked public course in the nation, charming overnight accommodations and championship golf experience, and of course, the host of the 2025 U.S. Women's Open Championship. The next major championship coming to Wisconsin will be at Aaron Hills. Learn more at aaronhills.com. Well, we're heading back up to Kohler. Coming up next on the tee with Mark the Caddy, we recap the Watson's round. Welcome back on the tee, Stephen Watson, along with Mark the Caddy. Gabe Neitzel is on assignment, and Mark, we had the opportunity to meet for the first time in person at Whistling Straits last week. I'm a longtime follower of you on social media. You do a fantastic job just always reflecting on your opportunities to loop on a daily basis. You can follow Mark at CaddyTales on Twitter. We're not calling it X. It's Twitter.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's the author of Caddy Tales. So buy that book on Amazon. You can find it also on his social media pages. So, Mark, I requested you because I had heard from other people that you were a great caddy and you are a positive spirit. And I had the opportunity to set up a round with my mom and dad who flew in from Philadelphia. My dad played in a member guest with me this past weekend, but I wanted to treat them to one of my favorite walks of golf that I've ever had, and that's at Whistling Straits. And we had originally set up a tee time for 3:40. I was thinking sunset walk with my folks. Well, Mother Nature had other plans for us, Mark. So what did we do? Thanks to your flexibility, my parents landed at about 10:30 in the morning, and we drove straight to Whistling Straits so we could set ourselves up to have every excuse in the book of coming fresh off the plane for you and really set the bar high on the first tee box. But I want to hear your perspective of what it was like caddying for not just a father-son, but a father-mother-son. I imagine that's kind of rare to have a threesome of mom, dad, and son out on the golf course. And just your impressions of walking with the Watsons.
Well, it is very rare. And I will say this, that it was a good reminder for me about how meaningful this opportunity can be. Because if you put yourself in my shoes, that day was a scheduled day off, and I was just excited to meet you, so I said yes. But then I knew some weather was on the horizon. It was going to be a later in the day loop. So the excitement level just for the act of working wasn't maybe high. And I would say that, you know, there's probably a thought in your head like, hey, maybe they'll cancel and that'll be okay, you know. And you guys rush there and it's like, no, we're going to make this work. That's how much it means. And so you got to step back in the caddy position and be like, okay, let's always kind of look at it. This might be my 80th loop of the year, but this is this person's one and only time they're going to be out there like this. And his parents are flying and all that. And so that also, you know, it tells me how much that meant to you. And I've always got to remind that. And then, yeah, you guys showed up at like 12:00 something for a 12:12.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest. The Watsons are known to be show and go golfers.
Yeah.
My mom and dad love just showing up on the first tee box. They're never late, but they're as close to late as you can be sometimes.
Yeah.
And it frustrates me to no end. But then I'm a new dad. I've got two kids under 2.5. So I have become a show and go golfer myself.
Yeah.
And I've never missed a tee time, but I've flirted with it.
Yeah.
I take a lot of pride in not being late to a tee time, but we showed up 10 minutes early, which I felt like was enough time. But then I remember the walk to the first tee is like 7 minutes in and of itself. So we really pushed it with you.
Yeah, and your mom, your lovely mom, who I assured I would say only nice things about, because she was great, but she was using somebody else's clubs.
Yeah, that's true.
And so that's a built-in excuse right there. And you could tell, I mean, she's exhausted. They flew early in the day. And yet she wasn't going to be like, hey, you know, we're getting off this course, because she loves her son and she knows this is a meaningful day, and it was meaningful to her because the family's together. So, you know, she may not have played her best golf, but it was still awesome.
Yeah, it was fun for us. You know, that's something that I've understood about this game and the way that it can bring people together and the common bonds that you can share through the love of golf and where it can take you. And it took me to Whistling Straits with my parents. It was the first time we played there in a decade. And I didn't care going into that round whatsoever what I shot. I just wanted to see them smile. Like, that was the pride that I took and be able to host them up there. And it was kind of one of those moments that allow me to step back and realize how fortunate I am.
Yeah. Right?
To be able to do that for them and through connections set up, you know, an incredible tee time, and we can't thank the folks in Kohler enough for helping make this a reality for us. Kind of a last minute notice as well, and for you to be flexible. But I want to know, you caddied for me for 18 holes.
Yeah.
How can I get better?
Yeah. So actually, you know, I could tell you're a serious golfer, and yet you did, my guess is, kind of tone it back a bit because you were with your parents. You certainly played more forward than you normally would, I guess.
Not a bad thing in this game for everybody to play it up a little bit.
Yeah, and I would tell the listeners he's shot pretty darn good. and some an area where I'd butter his bread here a little bit is the 15th hole is one where he got like what I would call whistling straighted. You know, didn't hit a terrible shot. A little offline, but you end up in a lie where you have to be like Phil Mickelson to really be successful with it on a consistent basis. You double bogeyed that hole.
Yeah.
And sure I've been in that situation. I write about it in my book where somebody's had like the best round that I've ever seen going, and then that hole got them too, and it ruined the rest of the round. And there's three iconic holes left to go, some of those beautiful things you're ever going to see. And you had an eagle opportunity on 16. If your caddy would have given you a better read, you probably would have made that one.
No,
you were great. But you birdied it. And then 17, I think you parred, and 18, I think maybe you did. I can't remember exactly, but you didn't let one hole turn into the next three bad holes. And so that's something that I always think is great, because I'm sure it was you had like a potential for under par going, and then you know, so that was really good. So. Again, I'm not a golf coach, so I don't know exactly what you can do better with your swing or this or that. So I would say that it was just a truly enjoyable time. You were, you know, you may not realize this, and this is maybe gives you some perspective about what the caddy's job is like out there. I mean, you're certainly in the top 10% like of golfers that we see. And
I didn't bring you on the program butter me up this. I want to get better as a player with
caddies. It was pretty weird. No, it's not often where you can pretty much, like I could tell you a club, a relative distance, whatever, and have a certain level of confidence the ball was going to land in the general vicinity, you know, or whatever. And there's some days where we can't take that for granted. And so you're zigzagging and all over the place. So I thought you did great. And I thought you showed a extremely high level of appreciation for your lot in life that you were able to be out there and to be with your parents. I brought up one interaction with you earlier that I'd like to mention, you know, Caddy Tales podcast, we had been to talk, we were recording it that morning before we played with you, and we talked about how there's like a general progression of loop, and on hole 14 is where we generally see people kind of like, they're pooped out, and it's like, oh, golf should be 13 holes, and I remember I walked over to you and your ball, and you're like, oh, I think my parents are kind of fading, and I'm like, yeah, your mom's level of give a... you know, is pretty low because they were kind of tired at that point. And so, you know, you recognize that, but it was a great day. It was hot and humid, and we beat the storms, and we got in before dark, and so I consider it a win.
Yeah, it was a win for us, and certainly my parents loved meeting you, loved looping with you, and as always, love the property. It's hard not to love that walk. And Mother Nature was smiling down on us because she held off the rain. We even saw a little blue in the sky to finish the loop. Mark, we appreciate you for being flexible that day because it helped create a core memory for us.
Yeah. Well, and then I saw your tweet that you threw up after the round, like that it was a core memory kind of day with you and your parents. And I'm like, that's something that I love about it. It's not just about the tips. And I mean that sincerely. Of course, I need to feed my family. It's a job, just like other people have jobs. They want to make money. They want to be valued. But you got to also have a sense of meaning and purpose in life. And you want to love what you do. And I remember seeing that and go, here's a dude who's on television, has a radio show, a cool podcast, all gets to play at a lot of places. And here he is. I was a part of a core memory kind of day with him. I was inserted into that. And never, if you were in my shoes 6 years ago when everything fell apart, I could not get through a day without shaking or feeling like there was nothing but a dark cloud over me. And I couldn't see very easily at that time a bright future. And now I get to be a part of people's core memory kind of days. I just never want to lose a sense of gratitude for that.
Yeah, well, that's incredible perspective from you. It's the stories like that and being able to share that bond with you on the golf course is why we had such an incredible loop. So thank you for that. And it continued into an incredible weekend for me getting an opportunity to play a member guest with my dad at Wisconsin Country Club. That's my home course. It's a special place where I've also created a lot of core memories with my family and friends. And be sure to check out Wisconsin Country Club. Swing for Cindy and help raise money for ALS on August 26th. A 10 a.m. shotgun start, silent auction, raffles, putting contest, and more. For more information, contact Don Tracy or Derek Gentry at Wisconsin Country Club. There's no assessments there, no food and beverage minimums. Gorgeous golf course, one of my favorite walks in the state of Wisconsin. Of course, no bias here for me. Pool, tennis, pickleball, and themed Sunday fun days at the pool. We got birthday parties you can plan there. Wisconsin Country Club, it's my home course. It can be yours as well, so be sure to check them out online. All right, we're going to go through the favorite hole of yours on Kohler's Whistling Straits coming up next on the tee. With 18 unforgettable holes on 250 acres of natural private land, The Bog provides the ultimate golf experience. To book your next tee time, call 262-284-7075 or visit golfthebog.com. Enjoy golf. Enjoy The Bog. If you head a little further up 43, you hit Whistling Straits. Of course, the unbelievable golf property that Kohler has between Black Wolf Run and the Straits and Irish. And caddying up there is Mark the Caddy. All right, Mark, our Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All, Pick of the Week, your favorite hole on Whistling Straits.
I just have to say there's a tie, the par 3 7th, because it's just the picture is going to be forever ingrained in my mind, and I've seen a couple of hole-in-ones there, and that's created lifetime memories for me. But the most fun hole, especially when it's with somebody like you, is the 13th hole, where if somebody hits that drive just the right way and catches the downhill on a par 4, something pretty magical can happen as well.
Yeah, that's fascinating. You didn't know 17 or 18. I feel like those are the two that get all the love out there.
Well, they have become pretty iconic and stuff, but maybe it's just because by 17 or 18 I'm too tired.
That's fair. And I felt that as well out there. I closed well with you, but I have not always closed well on 17
the
and
the least favorite hole to caddy. It's an amazing hole, but 16, a par 5, if it's into a stiff wind and the players have been all over the place, a little part of me dies.
Yeah. I will say it really is unique to have all four par 3s on the water. You could pick any of them to be the favorite hole out there. I love number 8. I love, and I did it with our group. I showed my parents the tee box from the tips on 8, just how special of a shot that is, that the pros would hit at the Ryder Cup or PGA Championships in the past, just how unbelievable of a drive that is, how intimidating that is, that Pete Dye created that. But yeah, 8 speaks to me. Something about that hole, you know, hitting into the water as well, I just love it.
I maybe have just fallen down the hill too many times looking for a ball. So
How many people have attempted the Jordan Spieth shot?
You know, more than you'd like, but
more than you'd like.
But I would say that it's now by far and away about the course, the most asked question about the course. Nothing's even a close second.
It used to always be the Dustin Johnson shot.
Correct.
Now it's the Jordan Spieth shot.
And really, Jordan Spieth eliminated the Dustin Johnson shot. I mean, it's like you would be always be asked about that, and now it's Jordan Spieth 100% of the time.
All right, Mark. Well, we appreciate you joining us here on the tee once again. If you have an opportunity to go up to Whistling Straits or even Irish, be sure to request Mark the Caddy. You can find him on social media at Caddy Tales, author of Caddy Tales. You can buy that on Amazon. Where else can they find the book?
Please just go to my X account or Twitter account at Caddy Tales, Mark the Caddy. And there's a pin post even where you can buy it, where there's a promotion and even maybe have a chance to win a free round of golf.
There
so
you go.
Check me out there and would love to meet you someday.
And you know, I had the opportunity to walk that course with my parents. It makes for a great gift for parents or golf lovers anywhere. Buy Caddy Tales. Follow at Caddy Tales. Mark the Caddy, we appreciate you again joining us on the tee, and thank you again for the core memory that you created for me and my parents.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right. That's Mark the Caddy. Gabe Neitzel will be back with us next week. We will recap our member guest experiences and his trip to Michigan. Also, I got to play some other great courses in Wisconsin after playing Whistling Straits. We'll detail it all coming up next week on the tee.